This is an AMI podcast. This is an AMI podcast.
I'm Kelly McDonald. Here's a segment from our show, Kelly and Company, that airs weekdays from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern on AMI Audio. It's Kelly and Company. Welcome back to the program. Ramya Muth and Kelly McDonald, hosts of the show. Boy, look at all this stuff for the roundtable. Boy, we're going to have a good talk when Alex Smyth joins us a little later on, Rum. We're going to start off... Oh, I can't tell you any of that. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, hopefully you'll be with us and have a great time hanging in here during the round... What?
What?
That was a big wow.
Tease. It was just far beyond teasing.
No, that was my poor memory that I'm not supposed to share of the items on the round table with you. That's cheating. Poor Alex isn't here to get any hints.
Right.
So I can't
easily email him if you wanted to share.
Yeah, but the hint that I might slip up and give you might be no use to him. He might be screaming foul already saying, look, come on.
All right. Fine.
You can't favor
Make
like
up your
that.
Own rules.
Just because she's the co-host, don't favor. Justification, folks. That's it. Gardening. I like to sit outside and do a round table with you guys as the weather gets nicer. And positioned in like Sue Kearney's garden would be a wonderful place to host a show and do the round table. Anyway, ponder that idea as we bring Susan on to talk gardening.
Hello, I'm Susan Kearney. Join me on Kelly and Company to learn about the joy of gardening by using touch, taste, scent and sound.
So at a better time, Sue, we'd definitely have to think about doing that. Sitting outside, lemonade.
Ooh, that would be fun.
That would be a really cool show to do.
It would be.
Yeah, I'm going to perseverate on that now and aggravate the manager. Sue, you got a shout out to do, first of all, starting off the show, and welcome back.
Yes, I do. Congratulations to Jeff and his lady to have a garden to plan and plant. I think that's really neat.
Well, he's been fun Good spreading luck. Manure in a different way than he does around talking to us. It's a total, you know, he's been having a ball in there. And Sue, I think it goes to when I listen to Jeff talk about it, it's kind of like that family thing. You know, I always remember with my mom helping her out and stuff like that. And I remember when I got an apartment once, we had in a house, had space in the back where all us tenants could go out there and mess around. You could, you know, sit around and that. And I wanted to make a bit of a garden. So I had a little bit of fun. My dad gave me a hand setting it all up. It was just a blast just to have some but the big thing was it came from that place of the family garden. And I kind of wonder, your children take on to that? Did they?
Yeah. My kids are huge, really big gardeners. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's amazing. Yeah. That's really cool. Well, today you wanted to get into talking about our turf lawn. What do we need to cover when it comes to this, especially thinking of it now in April?
Mm-hmm. We don't have very much turf lawn. It's pretty well filled up with a lot of other things. We've got a little bit. And the first thing that is usually done is something called aerating. In fact, we had them come this morning and do it. We thought they were going to be coming last week, but they showed up this week. And that is a machine that takes plugs of your grass and soil out of the lawn so that it can breathe and water can get down in there. And I guess once the next thing would be fertilizing. And these plugs they're quite large and they just sort of sit all over the lawn when this machine pulls it out, makes an awful lot of noise, but it's very good for the lawn. We do this every year. What's very interesting is as soon as it's done, my dogs go out in the backyard and they bring all these big lumps of soil and grass to me. So there's a lot up on the deck I'm going to have to clean up later.
Are they kind of like picturing what we used to in wood shop when we'd work with wood, you'd get a knot in a piece of wood. And if you pictured a lawn, like a big chunk, is it kind of just a really hard bit of like you say, tangled grass and soil that just once you yank it out?
It can be, and it is hard because, of course, it's the ground is still very hard right now. And it's just like a plug,
Wow.
I guess like a cork, and then they just eventually just melt back into the lawn. But it actually lets the lawn breathe. Is really what it does.
Because they must, with being hard, almost distribute, move. Like, is there that many? Like, do you get a lawn then with, like, basically a bunch of holes in it?
Yeah.
And everything
basically
falls back together?
Yeah. Yes. Wow. Basically, yes. And then it starts to grow in again. But it's very funny because this machine leaves all these plugs and my dogs go and pick them up.
That's
and bring
neat.
Them up to the deck.
It's amazing it finds them. Like, you know, it goes through and rips them out, drops them, and away it goes to the next one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they do. It's very interesting. This happens every year. The next thing is fertilizing. Now, fertilizing, because we will probably be fertilizing the lawn within the next few days, because we're going to have lots of rain, and that's a good time to do it. When you're doing fertilizing the lawn, lawn fertilizer has a very high content of nitrogen in it. So when you're doing that, and nitrogen actually greens it up. That's what nitrogen does. That's why they put a high content. In fact, I think it's usually the top number right. in many lawn, like the lawn fertilizers, are pretty close to the top. And when you're spreading that, if you have flowering shrubs or bushes or trees or even a perennial garden, protect those because the fertilizer is not going to hurt them, but it will green them up and they will just give a lot of foliage and you won't get any blooms. It stops those particular flowering things from actually blooming.
Okay.
They just go very green.
Kind of the opposite of what you want happening in your garden.
Especially for your flowering things. I usually say about keep that fertilizer a good 3 to 4 feet away from those particular things, or you can protect them. You can put mulch down, or you can even put burlap, anything to block that fertilizer from going in, like along those trees. Some people don't have like cutouts. A soil around trees or bushes or shrubs. So, and that's when you can get the runoff off of the grass fertilizer. So
right.
That's just something to look out for.
Does this help in any way with weeds, this particular fertilizer?
No. Weeds are a whole different 'cause I always say that a weed is a plant growing where you don't want it.
Right.
I don't worry about weeds in my turf lawn. I'm not. I never have, and I've never used any kind of weed killer or anything like that. I'm not one of those people who use that, and I've never really worried about having dandelions in my lawn. Doesn't bother me at all. But if you have a healthy lawn, then a lot of those weeds won't encroach. It's when it's not healthy that you start to get that encroaching of
right. Well, and you, and
that's
you
gonna
do
be a good
see
way
that.
To tell.
Well, you see that in a lot of lawns that are just left, right? Like around,
mm-hmm,
you know,
yeah.
where really it's like city property or whatever. That's where all, you know, you go, oh, look at all the dandelions. And that's a really good point, because I think for most people, they see it in our education of it is get those out of there. They're ugly. They're weeds.
Yeah.
They're killing your lawn.
Yeah. Yeah. But they're not. They're actually, if you have a very, very, if you like turf grass and you've got it and you want to take care of it, that you'll keep those away just by maintaining the lawn, and you don't have to use any of those spray. I'm against them anyway, so you don't have to use any of that. Little bit of elbow grease once in a while if you really don't want things, you know, creeping in on it. But a healthy lawn will itself keep those things away. So,
mm-hmm.
And the next one helps too, overseeding. And if you overseed after the fertilizing, then and you can do it 2 or 3 times in a season. And there's all sorts of different seeds. I mean, goodness. There's their seeds for sunny areas, sunny, you know, grassy areas, for shade areas, for drought. That's usually what we use because we never use tap water on our lawn. We let Mother Nature water it if she's going to, and if she doesn't, sometimes if it's really dry, I will empty out the rain barrel a little bit just to put a little bit on the grass. But once it gets really hot and dry in the summer, it is the last thing in my garden to get watered. I don't worry about my turf lawn. So that's
and how does it, when it comes to such droughts that we've seen in Toronto area, how mm-hmm. does it persevere? When it comes to that, since that, you know, if you're using just some of that rain barrel water, which is kind of like the last resort emergency.
Yeah. Well, you know, I usually just let it go brown and it just dies off. And I don't worry about that. Now, this year, I actually got some wildflower seeds, and I may sprinkle some around into the mix it with some of the overseeding of the grass and get some wildflowers going and just see how that comes out. That'll be interesting. Yeah. So that's a new thing I'm going to try this year.
So the second thing, unless there's anything else you want to say about the turf lawn, Susan, the no. next thing you wanted to talk about was a new approach. Because last time we talked about the spring cleaning for gardens, mm-hmm. garden spring cleanup. And there was a lot to cover. And I think that's what partially helped Jeffy and Aaron start cleaning up their garden area as well.
Yeah.
So you found a new approach or a new point of view that you wanted to share with us.
Yeah, this is interesting. And I think a couple segments ago, I said that I must have been lazy because I was going around looking at the garden and thinking, wow, I left this here and I left that there. And then I read this article. I believe it was I should actually check up where I got it from, but it was the World Wildlife Foundation, I believe, that put this out. And they talked about how important it is to leave some of that dead growth in the garden up until a certain time. Now we can remove it, but through the winter and early spring, because it actually is shelter for a lot of like little wee creatures that we, you know, we don't even know are there. Many of the bugs and they actually have nested in there, and that is their home. So if we clean that up all like too quickly, we're throwing out their homes and throwing them out too. So I thought that was really interesting that I did leave all that stuff. And then when I read, I thought, wow, I did something really good for yeah. a bunch of little bugs, because many of our returning birds, our migrant birds that are coming back, they eat those larvae.
Mm-hmm.
They live on that, which is really interesting. Many of them are caterpillars that will turn into butterflies or moths. They're, you know, and they are our pollinators. It was actually a very interesting article, and I thought, wow, that's good. I can be lazy next year too. So.
Hey,
and
the, yes. Yeah. In print, yeah. It's justified the excuse of it. That is absolutely excellent, though, to discover
I know.
Sue. But also, like you say, it's that part of the cycle, right?
Yes, it is. And I noticed like my some of my ornamental grasses, I left, and I was very pleased about it because my husband said he actually saw birds pecking around in that area. So they're being fed. I'm just going to leave that for another 3 or 4 weeks. I won't be planting anything there right now. And a lot of my herbs, I left my dry herbs, and there's been a bunny that's come to our yard.
Oh, nice picture. That'll be great when we're doing the show there, Suze. Suze,
yeah.
Time to go. We'll
yeah.
talk to you in a couple of weeks.
Bye.
Thanks, Susan Kearney, our gardener. You can tune in every second Thursday here on Kelly and Company for our chats with her. We're going to take a break, and in a second, oh boy, here comes the subject we love. Takeout. Takeout Day has turned into a weekly food holiday. We learn more with Chef Trevor Louie after this.
You've been listening to Kelly and Company. If you're hooked, subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast platform. And be sure to leave us a rating and review. Or you can listen live from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern on AMI Audio.
This was an AMI podcast. For more accessible media, visit AMI.ca.